Yeah, other discussion about the agenda? This may be reflected by the fact that you all haven't had much time to look at the agenda, which I apologize about, but, you know, we'll try to do better going forward, but it was a tough week.
Okay.
Any objections to approving the agenda as drafted? Hearing none, the agenda is approved. That makes the next item, acknowledging the passing of Fernando Velasquez. And some of you may not, didn't personally know Fernando. He was a KPFK programmer, had a popular show called Informativo, Pacifica, which I believe is broadcast daily. And was a longstanding kind of force of nature programmer at KPFK. And, you know, his passing, was sudden, unexpected, and, he will be sorely missed. And one of the things that I thought I would do is give, in particular, well, first, let's have just a moment of silence to acknowledge Fernando and speed his transitioning. Thank you. I thought next I would give particularly the directors from KPFK, you know, the opportunity to, you know, offer some reflections or, you know, thoughts about Fernando. Do any of the directors want to speak? Lawrence, I see your hand.
Yes, thank you. I say it with a heavy heart. Fernando was a good friend of mine, a good brother. As we say, camarada. Right? He was a good camarada. I know he was with Pacifica many years, and he was misunderstood often a lot. And as a result of that, and I'm going to say some things that may not be comfortable, that as a result of that, he encountered a lot of bias and a lot of racism within our own ranks. And that's not something that I say proudly, but that's what I saw throughout the 40 years, 30 to 40 years that I knew him. You know, people look different. They speak a little different, and a lot of people don't look at the similarities. They're rather focusing on the differences. And as a result of that, they disqualify them or try to render them invincible as human beings. And Fernando was nothing like an invincible human being. He had a voice. He had a strong voice. He reported internationally about current affairs throughout Latin America. He will be sorely missed for not only his infectious personality and his sense of humor, but his humanity, if you will, and his sense of being fair, even to those that agree with him, as I do. I would reach out to them and talk to them as well. And that's one of the things that I would do with my colleagues here as well. But I don't want to be remiss in saying that he came to the PNB many times with me and others, and he created a Pacifica race and nationality programming policy, which is, I don't know if many of you know that, but he was always His main thing was KPFK and Pacifica, and how he could improve upon that. He was director for KPFK. He encountered a lot of bias during that time. And I know others like my camarada Paulina could speak better to that than me, but, I just want to, send them off to the ancestors and that, he encountered less bias, more of a homecoming while he was on planet Earth. Thank you, Chairperson.
Thank you, Lawrence. Paulina, and before Paulina speaks, I just want to acknowledge, the heavy heart that Paulina must have because, she was actually present, and took Fernando to the hospital. So Paulina, please go ahead.
Thank you. I'd like to celebrate the life of Fernando Velázquez, who was my mentor. I always say everything I know about radio production or a lot of the stuff that I use every day, I learned from Fernando Velázquez, and he would always say, homie, don't say that. They're going to think that your mistakes are mine, that I'm responsible for having taught you bad, you know. And I mean, there are no words. Fernando Velázquez started with KPFK in Pacifica in the 80s. He was a volunteer for a good part of those decades. For the last several decades, he didn't receive a salary. Neither did his partner and co-worker, Norma Martinez, who is still producing Informativo Pacifica from Mexico City without a salary. This show, it's a half an hour international news with a very sovereign take on things. It's being carried by 30 Pacifica affiliates or more right now, or it was at least right now. This week, we're all in mourning. It's not being produced. 30 stations carried it in Spanish. We're talking about an amazing human being who I think Pacifica has not thanked enough in his life. And now that he's with his ancestors, I think he deserves more recognition than what he has received for everything that he has done for Pacifica National, not just for KPFK. There was a bilingual newscast as well that he was part of producing and directing for a time before my time at KPFK. That was a huge success. It also created enemies. It was the threat of a good example. Fernando will be so, so, so missed. He left us at 73 years of age. Nobody was ready for it. And he's survived by 3 children, adults, and by grandchildren, and his wife, Norma Martinez, to whom, in solidarity and celebrating Fernando's life, I think the torch needs to be carried. His passion for communicating, for justice, for the people, to give voice to the voiceless, to the mission of Pacifica was absolutely unwavering throughout his career. He stayed without a salary because of the mission, the labor of love. He will be missed all across, Avia Yala, the 2 American continents, missed in so many parts. There you go.
Thank you, Paulina. Beth, would you like to say something?
Yeah, thank you. When I first became a candidate for the local LSB about 2.5 years ago now, I didn't know anyone at the station. I'd never met anyone in production or on the staff or on the LSBs. So I thought I'd better start showing up and find out what was what, just in case I got elected. So I started attending LSB meetings in July of that year, and I realized when someone else stood for public comment that I knew that voice. That voice was familiar to me. And so when the LSB went into closed session later on, I found myself in the hall with Fernando talking for the first time. I'd been a longtime listener, and it was very helpful. He made me so welcome. he was someone I could ask, what was that that just happened in there? Who is it that said this or that? And he really went out of his way to help me get oriented. And sometimes we spoke in English and a veces en español también. And he was comfortable in either. And I will miss him a lot. He's done wonders over the years for my comprehension in Spanish. And I will be grateful to him into the future. He's been such a mainstay at KPFK for so long. And we'll miss him. Thank you.
Thank you, Beth. Thank you. Paulina, did you want to say something else? I see your
hand. I forgot to lower my hand. My apologies.
Okay. Okay. Well, again, thank you everyone for sharing your thoughts. I know there's a GoFundMe to help pay for his funeral expenses, et cetera. So, encourage people to consider that. Thank you again, for acknowledging, Fernando.
Chair, this is Lawrence.
Yes.
Can I say one last thing? It's a short story.
Sure.
I was working on the bilingual newscast with him. Because, you know, Fernando was about training people. He was about teaching people how to do radio, right? So he was teaching me. And I'm not a programmer, so I know the programmers will know this. But I experienced my first episode of dead air. And I know you know what that means, right? Dead air was like, I just froze. I couldn't say an indigenous name of a Bolivian tribe. So that was dead air, and he never let me live that down either. So anyway, I just thought I'd share that.
Thank you, Lawrence. I appreciate that, and Paulina too, the lovely memories in the celebration. All right. Next item on the agenda is accepting the report and ratifying the election of officers of the PMB. This is a 5-minute item. There's a motion in the appendix. It's a fairly short motion. I'll just read the motion and then I'll motivate it. Whereas the Pacifica National Board held elections of officers and the teller's report dated February 10th, 2021 has been shared with all directors. Therefore, be it resolved that the Pacifica National Board ratifies the teller's report and affirms the duly elected officers to be Chair Julie Hewitt, Vice Chair Beth von Gutten, Secretary Paulina Vasiliev. That's the motion. The reason I put this on here is because our bylaws don't actually allow us to do voting by email. That's not technically anticipated in our bylaws. And so I've had parliamentarians, including Terry Goodman, recommend that we have a motion to ratify the elections just to make it clear that it is, you know, the will of the board. And so is someone willing to move the motion?
So moved, Chair. Second. Lawrence second, Susan Dion.
I heard Susan moving and Lawrence second. Thank you. Any discussion about the motion? Beth, is your hand still up or from before?
I don't have a way to take it down from this end. Sorry.
Well, that's okay. We can help you.
Thank you.
Anyone else have anything to discuss here? Are there any objections to the motion? Hearing none, the motion passes. All right, we're up to item 6 on the agenda, which is remaining committee reports from the 2021 PMB. And I now recognize that Lawrence Reyes is responsible for both of those. And Lawrence not only lost his dear friend Fernando, but has had a bad week in terms of his shoulder. So, Lawrence, I don't know whether you're prepared to...
No, Chair. I'm not prepared. The secretary had to go to New York for work commitments, so she was not able to get me the report. The secretary of the governance committee did submit a report, and I believe all directors got that one.
That's so right.
I can't take questions for that, but not the elections committee report, which I think is a critical report for the for my colleagues to have.
Yes, agreed. So this would mean changing the agenda to say that we would be postponing the elections committee report. And in the agenda, you know, are the details of the email, which is from February 3rd at 6:30 p.m. Eastern time, which is when Lawrence sent the report to all of the PMB directors for the governance committee, if anybody has any questions about that at this time. If not, we can move on to the, oh, I see Donald Goldmacher's hand.
Yes, thank you, Madam Chair. I think it would be useful for whoever has a copy of the National Election Supervisor's report on the last election to share it with those of us who are new members on the PNB. So we get a look at this because there's some controversy around that election.
That is an excellent point. I will, between Paulina and I, we will make sure that the National Election Supervisor report from 2021 is sent out to the current directors.
Chair, this is Paulina.
Yes.
Just to clarify, the National Election Supervisor's report is published for the public on Pacifica.org. And there is no private report to share with any director. So everybody here has access to that.
Okay.
Point of order. We're new board directors. That document is of inestimable value to this board of directors so that we can go forward. I realize it may be available, but it should have been provided to those of us who are coming on the board. And I would request that the secretary send it to us.
Absolutely.
Thank you. Lawrence, I see your hand.
Yeah, I was going to offer to send it after the meeting, but I'm very challenged with my typing with my shoulder, so I will yield to Paulina to do that. Thank you.
It's the secretary's duty, as Director Goldbacher correctly noticed. Thank you.
And Marianne, I would just like to note that Ali Lexa has joined the meeting.
Thank you.
Welcome.
Julie, you accidentally overlooked approval of the minutes of the open session of February 3rd.
That's right, Julie, but you're muted.
I figured out at least the muted part all by myself. Thank you, Marion, for pointing out that I blew past the approval of minutes of the open session of February 3rd.
Julie, can I comment on that? This is Paulina,
yes.
Your secretary. I, unfortunately, due to everything that you mentioned before, I only sent out the minutes today earlier, so I know that nobody has had time to look at them. So if you want to postpone approval to the next session together with the following set of, that's the only set of minutes that we have that's not, hasn't been seen by the board. So whatever you prefer. Also, you always have the option of approving them today with correction spending, as always.
That's right. That is the only set of minutes that I believe that we haven't already approved. So, do I have a motion to approve the minutes of the open session of February 3rd, or do I not have such a motion?
I have a motion to postpone until the next meeting.
Second.
Any discussion of this motion?
Point of information, Vanessa.
Vanessa, go ahead.
I'd just like to ask the maker of the motion why she is the reason.
Absolutely. I appreciated what Paulina had to say.
that we had just received the minutes and that many of us have not had the chance to read them. She suggested that the chair might opt to postpone consideration to the next meeting or could take them up now. And I thought that her option made a lot of sense.
Hey, thank you. Appreciate it.
Any other discussion? Any objections to the motion? Hearing none, the motion passes, and we will postpone discussion for approval of the minutes to the next meeting. All right. I was on, I think we were finished also with item number 6, which was the remaining committee reports. I didn't hear anyone asking any questions about the governance committee report. And so the next item on the agenda is motions on the non-standing committees of the PNB agenda. And I will just explain this the item on the agenda just ever so briefly. In the appendix, you will find there are 5 committees listed there. In the appendix, you will find 5 distinct motions, 1 standing up each of those individual committees. I authored those motions. I have no pride in authorship, but we need to decide, are we going to stand up those committees or not? And I put some motions out there, you know, as kind of a starting point. And so, you know, kind of the idea is to just, they're in no particular order either. It might have at one point been vaguely alphabetical order, but, you know, at any rate, and so I propose that what we do is we plow through them one at a time. Item number 8 on the agenda is the process for nominating and voting for people to be on committees. And the way that motion is structured, you know, it has the deadlines for when nominations have to occur by, which is not by the end of tonight's meeting. It has, you know, dates for when the ballots will go out. It has dates when ballots are due. I checked with, you know, the tellers to make sure that they were available. And so, you know, those dates work for them. But it also says, you know, it will include nominations for people in these particular committees, which include the additional committees as well as the standing committees. And so that's why we're going to vote on the individual committees first. Do they exist or not? Basically, and then we vote on the, you know, kind of the actual timeline for voting, and so that's kind of the rationale behind how we have them on the agenda here. And so I see Susan Young's hand up. Otherwise, I think we proceed with the motions one at a time. Susan,
I had a question that precedes these motions, and that is whether the executive director has recommendations for us about committees that she thinks would be helpful to her. And she may not be prepared to make those recommendations, but I thought if she were, it would be great to hear them.
Go ahead, Stephanie.
Hi. Sorry, I have a barking dog. My gardeners are here. I don't have recommendations at this time. I know that some of the committees that people have talked about, the strategic planning, the development and the governance committees always stand out to me as something that's very strong. So I do want to be a part of the, committees as far as, you know, joining on the meetings and making recommendations of what needs to be done. So I know somebody in a meeting the other night was talking about, onboarding policies. Particularly for people that are new to the board and just new to the company in general. So I know that that's something that possibly could fall under governance. But, yeah, there are some things that I would like to see done that the committees would help with.
Madam Chair, this is a parliamentarian.
Yes, go ahead, Mr. Tatum.
I noticed that you're using some words that I'm not familiar with in parliamentary procedure. And maybe they can be changed, because there's really only 2 types of committees, st- standing committees, as you know, are outlined in the bylaws, and special committees are made up by the board. So it's only standing committees and special committees. Now, under special committees, they have all sorts of names, you know, commission, caucus, you name it, all the ad hoc, you know, all these others fall under that one category of special committees. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Tatum. I think I just called them other committees, the non-standing committees.
Yeah, I saw the word non-standing and
Request for information?
Yes, Mr. Goldmacher.
Yeah, with regard to what Mr. Tatum was just raising. So having read the bylaws at least once and trying to read them again, there are four standing committees. All the rest of these committees that we may or may not discuss tonight are committees that were established by previous boards. And I'd like to ask Mr. Tatum, do those, if we choose to, do we need to renew those committees as a new board? Or do we just vote on them individually?
Madam Chair, may I answer?
Yes, go ahead, Mr. Tatum.
Yeah, you don't have to have the same special committees as the previous board had. You can have the same ones or different ones. It's all up to this board right here.
Thank you.
So do those committees still exist?
They don't.
Mr. Goldmacher, please ask to be recognized. They don't exist. That is correct. And so we need to populate them if we want them to do any work. And, you know, I would argue that some of these committees are likely to be things that people will agree are important, even if, and one of the things I've tried to do in drafting the motions is be clear about the mandates of each of these committees. Again, that's, you know, if people feel that we need to add things or subtract things, you know, that's for the full board to decide. It's certainly not, I'm not trying to dictate what we do here, but just trying to give us a good starting point for the discussion. And so with that, Lawrence, go ahead. I see your hands raised.
Yes, I think there's some committees that are not standing, and I give a couple of examples. The Elections Committee and the Task Forces are not standing committees as well. I would hope that we would reactivate the Elections Committee because we have a delegates election this year, and we need to be able to work with the National Election Supervisor, Ms. Wells, and all those that want to make sure that we have a less challenging election than we had this year. Thank you.
Thanks. And I see James McFadden's hand.
Thank you, Chair. I had a question about the motions. There's a resolved. Is the wording in the resolved, which sort of establishes what the committees are going to be charged with, is that wording taken from previous wordings for similarly named committees, or is this new wording?
A good question. It is mostly new wording, and that is because I'm not clear that always had mandates for the committees in the past, and I think one of the things that people may have recognized from some of the committee reports about the 2021 committees is, you know, some committees were more successful than others in terms of what they were able to accomplish. And I think it's just kind of general good management that if you understand what the committee is empowered to do, then the committee is more likely to do that. And any committee, you know, which our bylaws say, any committee that we stand up serves at the pleasure of the board. So if we don't want a particular committee because, you know, we're not convinced that committee has done useful work in the past, you know, it could be either because they didn't have a good mandate and they need a clearer mandate, or because we don't want that committee. And so that's kind of, you know, I was trying to kind of move us along in that direction. And I see Jim Dingman has his hand raised.
Yes, Madam Chair. Are we at the point where we're talking about the actual wording of these resolutions?
So I don't know that we are, because I think what we need to do is go through the resolutions one at a time individually and, you know, vote them up or down, right?
Well, I'd like to when can we speak to how the wording is and how it should be revised? At that point when you're going through the motions?
Yes. And so I think unless there are any kind of high level questions about what we're doing here, I'd like to move on to the first motion, which would be the motion on the elections committee. So are there any?
Madam Chair.
Yes.
I chaired the program committee for several years. And I think that the issue here should be raised right now, and that is the Nielsen ratings and the fundraising issue. It is my contention for many years that the stations have to supply the PNB with all Nielsen rating records, going back quite a while. I would say, well, I personally think 20 years. But there's no way for people to understand what's going on in the stations, and particularly the low audience ratings, unless we get that kind of data. And we also need the data to identify the top fundraising shows is just not adequate enough. We need to know the exact hour-by-hour fundraising totals juxtaposed with the shows, so one can actually see what is going on, as opposed to having to beg and cajole and threaten director inspections at stations, which I have no personal problem doing. But I think this should be supplied collegially so that people can see this information and we don't have to go through a lot of phony baloney performance art confrontations, which are a waste of time.
Thank you. James McFadden, I see your hand again. Or is that
I had a second question. I assume all committee meetings are open to the public, and I wanted to make sure of that. But I've noticed that some committee meetings are not necessarily recorded. And I think since the public can't always gain access to a committee, it seems reasonable to make sure that those are recorded. And I don't know if that's always been the case and whether it should be part of the motions.
That's a good question. Should all the motions be modified in that particular regard? Let me say something just briefly about committee meetings being open to the public. So CPB, this is not part of our bylaws per se, but I don't recall that it is. I could be wrong about that. But the CPB requires for those stations that get community service grants, which at the moment we do not get, we're not eligible just yet, or we haven't applied just yet. But for stations that get CSG monies, any committee of the station must have meetings in open session with, I'm roughly paraphrasing the requirements, with at least 7 days advance notice on the website and other ways you can do on-air carts, et cetera. But you have to give the public advance notice of the meeting time and place. And they must either be open, one, or two, they can be closed. But when they're closed, within 10 days of the meeting, you need to report on that same, website, the reason for the closure of the meeting. And so that's one reason why it's really important that, for example, at the outset of this meeting that I read the reason for the closure, though we do also need to post it at kpftx.org. But there's not actually a CPB requirement, just to be clear, that we record those meetings and make them available for the future. Is it a good practice? Absolutely. Does it make it easier for the public to attend our meetings? You betcha. So, or hear what happened in meetings after the fact. So, but it's not technically speaking a requirement of the CPB. And then Jim Dingman, I think you just raised your hand.
Yes, I did, Madam Chair. I'm probably the only person on this entire board who's actually had the experience directly with a CPB Inspector General representative. And unless they've changed their rules, I understand Otis reached some sort of agreement with them. But in the past, when they actually came and discussed these very issues you just raised with us, they raised issues. For example, they've pointed into at our bylaws as they said, your bylaws talk about having to advertise things three times a day. Somewhere in the bylaws or something like that. So actually our bylaws are more onerous than what the CPB required. And also they mentioned the need to have open meetings requirements broadcast once a month or every quarter or something like that. And they had to do it 3 days in succession. And also the issue of minutes was brought up because they said that if you're going to announce things on the air, you have to keep a special log for that. And it's sort of like when the board operator is measuring for the FCC, something along those lines. And you also had to keep an actual MP3 of the advertisement. And that was stuff that none of us knew. So I'm just saying, as we go forward with trying to get the CPB money, we have to clarify these issues to figure out what's going on.
Thank you. That's an excellent point. We are going to want to, get in touch with the CPB and, find out what the precise requirements are and make sure that we're, coming as close to complying with those as possible. Are people prepared to go on with talking about the motions, committee by committee at this point then? And Marian Adain, I will just note that Marian Martinez is now on the call from KPFT. I'm not hearing anybody object, so again, the random order, which apparently was alphabetical, in which I listed them was the first motion is a motion on the Elections Committee, which I will read. Whereas 2022 is an election year for the Pacifica Foundation with timelines spelled out in the bylaws, and whereas the 2021 National Election Supervisor issued a final report which detailed recommendations on pages 7 to 9 and cost-saving measures on pages 24 to 27, resolved that the PNB establishes the Elections Committee for 2022 and they be charged with prioritizing those recommendations and cost savings measures the PNB should adopt for the 2022 elections, assisting the National Election Supervisor in the conduct of the elections, and assisting local election supervisors with members who did not receive a ballot or wish to file a grievance. Further resolved that membership on the Elections Committee shall consist of one director from each of the five stations and a director representing the affiliates. That's the motion. Would anyone like to move the motion?
Move the motion for a second. And also, how many minutes?
Okay, so we already chewed up some of the time that was associated with this item, but...
I didn't consider your stuff to be part of the minutes.
Fair enough. Let's go 5 minutes for each of these motions and recognize that that may or may not be enough time, but we'll start there. So Susan made the motion. Is there a second?
Lawrence seconds.
Thank you, Lawrence.
I have my hand up.
Is there any discussion? I saw Donald Goldmacher's hand first, and then I see Lawrence's. Mr. Goldmacher?
Lawrence can go first since he chaired the Elections Committee.
Thank you, Tom. Appreciate that. So I know in the past it was practice that the LSVs also nominate delegates to the Elections Committee. From the reading of the motion, are you just reading that to state that it's just going to be PNB directors, or do the LSVs also have to nominate candidates for the committee?
Thanks. I'll answer that quickly, and then we'll move on. I believe the way that I just read it as written is apparently I didn't think through the point of adding delegates, but well, okay, true, we can, we should probably amend the motion if you'd like to do that.
I don't accept an amendment. I was the person who moved the motion.
Mr. Tatum, is that,
Chair,
how do I deal with that?
I'd like to move to amend, and Susan, of course, she doesn't have to accept it. She could vote against my amendment.
Hang on, let Mr. Tatum speak.
Yeah, Lawrence, you weren't recognized. But anyway, take that lightly there, Lawrence. But anyway, no, it's no acceptance or rejection of a person's amendment. Anybody can make an amendment to anybody's motion, and the amendment, of course, has to be seconded to come to the floor. But to answer the question directly, you know, these things about friendly amendments and he accepts it and he doesn't accept my amendment, that doesn't come into play at all.
Thank you, Mr. Tatum. Donald Goldmacher.
Yes, I would move to postpone this motion to establish this committee until we've had a chance to read the election supervisor's report and have a discussion about that report and see exactly what this elections committee did with regard to that national election supervisor in the last election before going forward and reestablishing this committee. I'm not at all clear exactly why this committee is necessary, since we actually pay somebody to conduct these elections and it's that person's job to carry them out. Why we need a committee to assist that person is unclear to me. So I have a bunch of questions about this committee and that report, and I would move to postpone.
Is there a second to Mr. Goldmacher's motion?
Second.
Discussion on postponing?
Vanessa to the stack, please.
Yes, Vanessa.
I oppose the motion to postpone. It's not clear to me what difference it will make for Mr. Goldmacher and anyone else who's interested to read the report and how the committee dealt with, you know, that particular issue in order to support having this committee. There's going to be an election. I think Lawrence spoke to it very well. And I think there's been a demonstrated need to have this committee. So I do not support the motion to postpone.
Thank you. Jim Sagerton, is your hand up?
My hand was up, Chair, but it was for the discussion of the motion, not the the original motion, not the motion to postpone.
Sorry, we'll come back to you when and if we get there.
Sure, thank you.
I see Bethan Gunton's hand up.
And my hand is up too, Chair. I'm sorry.
Got it. You've already spoken. Well, I guess you haven't spoken on this. Go ahead, Lawrence. I'm sorry. Lawrence shows up first.
Okay, thank you, Chair. So I also will not support the postponement. We're already almost into March. And the elections timeline, I believe, the clock starts ticking in June. So to postpone
5 minutes.
To postpone this this creation of the elections committee, I don't think it's a wise thing.
Thank you. So Susan, you just said 5 minutes because we spent the 5 minutes.
Right.
I need a motion to extend time.
Vanessa moves to extend for another 5 minutes.
I second that.
Was that?
Jim Dingman, I second that.
Jim Dingman seconded. Any objections? 5 more minutes. Okay. So, let me see where we were. Lawrence just spoke. Now it's, Bethan Gunton's turn.
Thank you. Yes, I wanted to address the question about the purpose of the committees. That this goes to the fundamental difference between governance and management. The NES is management. They're the ones tasked with carrying out the function. The purpose, the function of the board and committees is oversight, so that we can assure ourselves and membership and any regulators who look into it that indeed the work has been carried out and to specification. And that's, I realize that if you're new to board work, that may not, that distinction may not have been articulated yet. That principle applies across the board, regardless of whether you're talking about this committee or any other committee. The purpose of committees, one of the fundamental purposes of committees is oversight. Thank you.
Thanks. I see Donald Goldmacher's hand up, but I also am going to skip over you because you've already spoken and give Jim Dingaman a chance to speak. And remember, we're speaking to the motion, which is to postpone or not.
Well, I don't think it should be postponed. And I say that as someone, again, on this board, who's the only person on this board who was on the old structure that was toppled 20 years ago. I am 100% in favor of an election process, and it just has to be better refined. I hear what Lawrence said about making sure that people be able to participate, but I think this is important to move this ahead and get this underway. All the elections that Pacifica has held since the old structure was toppled and the new one has been implemented have always been fraught with problems. All you have to do is read the NES reports. It's not perfect, but one can make it better. So I agree that this should be voted on tonight.
Are there others?
Chair, this is James.
Yes, James.
Thank you. I was originally going to reserve this comment for discussion of the motion, the original motion, but it may apply to postponing as well. I have a concern with part of the resolve here that we're going to adopt the 2022 Elections Committee to, and the purpose is being to assist the National Election Supervisor in the conduct of the elections and assist the local election supervisors with members who did not receive a ballot or wish to file a grievance. My concern is protecting the privacy of the membership list during elections at Pacifica. Historically, there's have been issues with who has access to the list, how do you get access to the list, et cetera. And if there are going to be board members who are involved with the elections and involved with different candidates in the election, I'm concerned that part of the function of this committee would be to actually deal with individual voters whose identity and contact information would possibly need to be revealed for that purpose. So by way of how this relates to postponing or not, is I'd like to thresh that out a little bit and see what we're going to do there. And I don't know if postponing would help that or not. So that's just my, that's all I'm going to say for now. Thank you.
Got it. Thank you. Okay. I am trying to be sensitive to time here, and I see a bunch of hands up, and I can't tell whether these are people who still need to speak because Jim Sagerton just spoke and his hand is still up, but I skipped over Donald Goldmacher a moment ago. I'll come back to you if you can make a brief point. Again, oh, just a postponement.
Yeah. Thank you.
5 minutes.
So I just have two questions here. Isn't the supervision of the national?
I'm sorry. I don't mean to interrupt, but we're at five. We're at time again. And so, I need a motion to extend. Sorry, Mr. Goldmacher.
Vanessa moves to extend another 5 minutes.
I second that.
That was Jim Dingaman again. Any objections to extending for 5 minutes? All right, Mr. Goldmacher, your questions. Go ahead.
Yeah, I have two questions, and I think what Jim Saugerton just raised is an equally valid point. The language in this motion to reestablish this committee is awkward at best and raises a conflict of interest for board members. But my two questions are, isn't the supervision of the National Election Supervisor the responsibility of the Executive Director of Pacifica? Because the National Election Supervisor is a contract. Shouldn't the ED be supervising the person who's fulfilling that contract? So that's question number one. And Vanessa just said a couple of minutes ago that this committee is essential. And if it is essential, I'd like to hear the evidence provided either in writing or verbally at some point as to why this committee is essential. Thank you.
Thanks.
Vanessa to the stack when it's appropriate.
Okay. Lawrence to the stack too, Chair.
Got it. Recognized. Beth von Gutten's hands up.
It's still up from before because I can raise it on this end, but it won't let me lower it.
Okay. Got it. Sorry. then we're at James McFadden.
Yes, I just had a question. Should we pass this motion today? I assume if for some reason we decide to change the reason for the committee or the nature of what the committee's tasks are, we can change that in the future. It's not locked in forever, right? So if some future motion could add people to the committee and so on like that. So if we don't get it quite right today, we can get it right down the line if needed. Is that correct?
I do believe that is correct. We could, as I noted, the bylaws allow us to set up special committees, once we do authorize them, we can certainly, as a board, give the committee different direction. I wanted to say something about the questions that Mr. Goldmacher asked about this. And I think, I certainly don't pretend that, the motions as written were perfect, right? And maybe we shouldn't have started with the elections one. Maybe we should have started with an easier one if any of them are easier. But I'm happy for people to, if you want to strike language from this, the question is, okay, I just violated we're supposed to be talking about postponing or not postponing. And I guess what I'm saying is arguing for not postponing, if we think we can strike certain language or add certain language that allows us to vote on this tonight. And the reason that I would argue voting on it tonight is important is, again, we could change our minds later or refine the mandate if we like. But this is about getting to the point where we elect PNB directors to committees. We want to pull off that election as soon as possible because it's already the middle of February. And that's the sense in which, what I would hate to do is kick the can down the road on some of these committees and then have to hold yet another election for putting people on these committees. And also having, I think somebody raised the point previously or at last, not last week's, the meeting 2 weeks ago saying, it would be more difficult to decide what bylaws committee, standing committees you wanted to be on if you didn't know what the non-standing committee or the special committees were. That it's easier to make a decision about which committees you want to be on if you know what the full suite of them are. And so that's, can we vote on that? Can we just go to voting on?
Hey, I have my hand up.
Yes, go ahead, Lawrence, quickly.
Thank you. I just want to respond that the Elections Committee did not have any access to membership databases whatsoever. We did our job without having that access. We did our job with accepting the National Elections Supervisor's final report. There's things that we agree with and there's things we don't. But to postpone this is not well taken for me. And so I have a parliamentary inquiry. Can I move to amend the motion to postpone, or do I have to wait to up and down vote?
Mr. Tatum, I seek your help.
Okay. The The motion to postpone, I'm looking it up now, and I believe that I'm looking for amended, because I'm thinking that you could amend it by saying to the next meeting, but you want to amend it to the meeting after the next meeting. So I'm on the side that you can amend it as far as when you're going to amend it to.
Chair, if I could just...
Yes, go ahead, Lawrence.
I was intending to amend it at this meeting, Mr. Tatum.
No. I think Mr. Tatum is saying what you can, how the only way to amend a motion to postpone is to be more specific about how far into the future.
Okay, so I definitely don't want to do that. So
okay. Okay. So then can we go to a vote or let me try it this way. Let's vote on the motion to postpone. And the question is, are there any objections to the motion to postpone?
Yes, Chair.
Thank you, Vanessa. Because there are objections, we need to go to a roll call vote. Marion, can you call the roll? And this is on the motion to postpone the motion on the Elections Committee.
And yes, Lawrence, it can be amended.
Okay, postpone. Okay, so a yes is agreement to postpone, and a no is wishing not to postpone. Teresa Allen, is not present. Bert Cohen.
He had to sign off the meeting. He suggested that I guess he had a chemo session earlier, and he put that in the chat. He had to sign off early.
Madam Chair, we are postponing to the next meeting. Is that correct?
No, we're voting on whether to postpone.
Whether to postpone at all.
Well, actually, you have to say when.
Oh, then it's postponed to the next meeting.
Okay, then I need to amend the motion, which is way up here somewhere.
Marion, can you just proceed with the roll call?
And yeah, I just have to make sure that I have it recorded that, okay, postponed to next meeting is, yes. So Bert Cohen is not present. Jim Dingaman.
I vote not to postpone.
Vote no. Vanessa Dixon Briggs.
No.
Votes no. Donald Goldmacher.
Yes.
Votes yes. Sue Goodwin. Sue Goodwin. You're muted. Susan. Hi. Somebody rattle her chain, please.
Keep going and we'll come back.
Yeah. Heather Gray.
Yes.
Votes yes. Donna Grimes. Donna
yes.
Grimes. Votes which?
Yes.
Votes yes. Yes. Okay. Athalia Jones.
Yes.
Votes yes. Ali Laxa.
Yes.
Votes yes. Marianne Martinez.
Yes.
Votes yes. James McFadden.
No.
Votes no. Darlene Pagano.
Yes.
Votes yes. Lawrence Reyes.
No.
Votes no. Sean Rhodes.
No.
Votes no. James Sagerton.
No.
Votes no. Sharon Salam. Sharon? I'll come back to her. Beth Van Gunten. Beth?
No.
Votes no. Egberto Willis.
My wife's
no.
Votes no. Susan Young.
Yes.
Votes yes. Let me go back around. Let's see. No, Teresa. Sue Goodwin. We have not heard from Sue Goodwin.
Chair, as host, I tried to ask her to unmute, but that button's not working.
Okay, don't know what to do about that. Sharon Salam.
No.
Votes no. Okay, who do we have?
Actually, can I change my vote? I vote yes.
Sharon?
Yes, remember. I just remember what we're voting on. Okay.
Okay, you vote yes.
Yeah.
We have 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9 yes votes. We have 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8 no votes. Julie, how do you choose to vote?
I vote no.
Julie votes no. Which gives us 9 yeses and 9 noes. And would anybody care to rattle the cage of Sue Goodwin, who may be the tiebreaker?
At this point, the motion would fail.
Okay.
All right.